Today on Family Talk.
You're listening to this Friday edition of Family Talk, a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host of the program. I've been holding the reins down for Dr. Dobson this week. He and his wife Shirley, as you know, have been in Washington, D.C., with all the festivities and services around the National Day of Prayer. Keep them in your prayers. Today, we're going to conclude our week-long focus on empowering and encouraging men in this hostile culture. A culture, by the way, that really doesn't have much regard for the influence and the significance of men, the influence and the significance of a father. But nothing could be further from the truth. Men matter, and so do dads. To help us do this, you're going to hear the remainder of the stirring presentation from Dr. Rick Rigsby.
We have become so like the world in our churches that we don't even understand the biblical meaning of an altar. It's a place of sanctification. It's a place where you bleed. The Lord woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said this, "My son, stop coming to the altar to be fixed. When I'm placing a demand on you to come to the altar so I can break something."
You can tell from that clip the significance of what took place in that room with over 5,000 men. Dr. Rigsby is an effective and dynamic communicator with a heart for ministering to men. Let's go now to the conclusion of Dr. Rick Rigsby's message entitled Wholehearted Devotion to Christ, right now here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Guess where the altar is where you seek God? Every one of you raised your hand. You want to go deeper. But how many of you have done more than just build workbenches at home? We build workbenches, we build garages, we build tool chests, but how many of you have built an altar? Not with hands. Look up, men. God is requiring us. God is placing a demand upon us to build that altar in our heart. The Bible calls it an Ebenezer, a place where the Creator and the created meet together. God is calling us out. He's calling every one of us out to seek Him like we've never sought Him before. You don't have to commit suicide. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You don't have to go skirt chasing. You don't have to have your own peekaboo show at 11 o'clock thinking everybody's asleep. I know one who never sleeps. You don't have to cheat on your income tax. You don't have to. Those are called choices. When you don't look up, sir, you're distracted. Those are called choices. Everybody say choices. Choices. When given to your flesh, let me make that different. When given to my flesh, I make choices to appease my flesh, motivated based on my comfort and how I feel. God says, seek me at that altar, and I'll help you overcome that flesh, and I'll help you rise up, get in my word, memorize my word, grab about 8 or 9, and I'm going to do it at the most inconvenient hours of the day. And I'm going to do it to the people you can't stand. I'm going to start with the relatives, that brother you don't even like. The person that offended you at the family reunion, that's your first assignment. The boss you keep praying every Sunday night has a heart attack Monday morning. You still want to be that one? He's calling us to seek Him. You know what that means? Death to self. I don't die to self every day. I die to self about 8 to 12 to 15 times a day because my flesh is so powerful. My eyes can see one sight, and the next thing I know, oh, don't you look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm being real. Does any man in here want to be real? We got about 8, 10, 12, 15 times where we can have the tendency to make ungodly choices because we're not seeking Him. And the next thing you know, you're involved in some mess. Do you hear what I'm saying, sir? I don't want to be involved in no mess. I want to be involved in not civil rights. I want to be involved in kingdom rights. I want to be involved with an almighty God who can create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Man, I'm telling you one thing. If I don't know anything else, I know this. The times are demanding men in this room to seek him like we've never sought him before. And it starts with saying, God, it's time for me to build an altar. Many of you have heard my story about that third grade dropout. The video has gone viral. My daddy showed me what a godly man looks like. But let me make it very clear. I learned how to be a man from a dying wife. 2 days before my college sweetheart, the love of my youth, the mother of my first two children, 2 days before she went home, no hair because of chemotherapy, tummy pooched out because of a liver not working. She weighed about 80 pounds. I'm keeping an eye on her as she's sitting surrounded by pillows to ease the pain. Barring a miracle, the time of Trina's departure had come, and we knew that. I noticed out of the corner of my eye our then youngest son, Andrew, walked down the stairs with a shirt. And this is what I heard next. Andrew, Mama, not always gonna be here to help you. Trina was saying goodbye to her baby. I've never felt so sad in my life. I waited for my son to leave. And I walked over and I sat next to Trina. And without her breathing labored, as clearly as I'm speaking to y'all, these were some of my wife's last words to me. Ricky, it doesn't matter to me any longer how long I live. What matters to me most is how I live. How you living? No applause, no talk, no response. Me and God, you and God right now. Nobody move, nobody get up. How you living? A dying wife taught me this. Ricky, if you really wish to follow him while I'm gone, you and the boys have to deny yourselves. Take up your cross. Follow him. You know what God told me? Stop playing church, Rick. I'm not a God to be mocked. I'm a holy God. And remind those men that everything they need to be godly, I've already put in them. I would highly recommend, men, that you start meditating on Ephesians 1 and increase your time to seek him. How you living? Brother Michael, would you come out and play for us? I want every head to just be bowed, every single head to be bowed. Dear Father, there comes a time when for a moment the entertainment needs to cease, and we need to hear the truth of your word. Father, your word is crystal clear. Woe to the man who is lukewarm. Woe to the man who is a hypocrite. Woe to the man who seeks me only when he's in trouble. And how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, for his delight is in the law of the Lord. Man, I want you to look up. As I've been talking, the Lord has been talking to me, and he wants me to ask you one question. What is your godly legacy going to look like? Well, it depends on the choices that you make today. That's why I ask how you're living. Here's my godly legacy. Put this picture up. This is my godly legacy. This godly legacy is courtesy of a man, a third grade dropout who was full of faith. And at the casket of my wife, at the casket of his daughter-in-law, he said, son, just stand. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to you, but when you're clutching the hands of two little boys and you're 40 years old and your life is all of a sudden over, you don't need to hear from Dr. Phil or Oprah. God bless them. You don't need another episode of SportsCenter. you need to hear godly truth. And that godly man said, son, just stand. His legacy lives on. I remarried. My wife Janet adopted those little boys of mine. We had more kids. I have grandchildren. But that's not what I want you to focus on. It all began when a dying woman asked me, how you living? And are you willing, for the sake of your soul and for the sake of our babies, to build an altar in your heart? If that's you, right now, get to this altar as fast as you can. I want to pray over you. I'll wait for every one of you. Balcony is not an issue whatsoever. We'll wait. In the very back row, we'll wait. This has nothing to do with a man. You need to understand that. This has nothing to do with folks that have come here to speak. We need you, Jesus. As Michael just sang, every hour we need you, Jesus. Man, look at me, those of you sitting. There is a woman at home pleading for a change in your life right now. There's a child, a wayward child, pleading for a change right now. But more than that, there is a heavenly Father saying, will you come? Will you deny yourself? Will you take up a cross? Will you follow me? Go ahead, Michael. Come in.
Wishing from deep, your grace is born. Grace is found. It's where you are. In where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh, sin, Lord, I need. Oh, I need. Yeah.
Jesus, here's our homework assignment, man. Wherever you are, man. Those of you sitting, let me know you can hear me. Those of you sitting, say amen.
Amen.
Wherever you are, whether you're down in the front, no matter where you are, Almighty God has given us a homework assignment. Look up. Almighty God is talking. Seek Him like you've never sought Him before. Almighty God has given us, Michael and I, the band members, all of us, He's given us a homework assignment. Get home, even on your way home, Lord, and ask Him, Lord, construct an altar in Ebenezer, a place where I meet you. Construct it in me. I can't go another day. I can't go another hour without you. Construct an altar inside of me. And men, hear me clearly. You do not want the words woe coming out of God's mouth aimed in your direction. While you're able, while you can, seek him like you've never sought him before. Can I confess something to y'all? I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for 30 years. I was privileged enough to go to Liberty University. Come on, somebody. When I started this a year ago, look up, somebody needs to hear this. When I started a year ago, I actually said, I don't know how to seek you. That's gonna make me lose credibility with a lot of you, but it's not about me. This is how I literally started, men. This is how I literally started. Father, I don't even know how to seek you. I don't even know how. And so all I started doing was saying this. Y'all listening? This is what I literally started doing. Would go into a room. Doesn't matter to God where the room is. Doesn't matter if it's in the woods. I just went into a room, closed the shades, closed the Bible. Didn't turn on the music. I think I told you this. Closed everything. And just said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Got 4 degrees. Didn't mean anything if you're spiritually empty. I wish I could preach. Jesus, Jesus. Sooner or later, you're going to start catching this and y'all going to start saying it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on, y'all. Jesus. Come on, y'all. Jesus, 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 Jesus. All of a sudden, after a couple of days, it started sounding like this. Help me, God. Help me, Jesus. Jesus, help me. I'm undone. I'm messed up. I got issues. Am I talking to anybody out there? I've got a lot of issues. Who do I talk to? After about a week or so, I heard this. You've talked enough. Listen. Fellas, what if I were to tell you that there is a day better than Christmas, and he's waiting to give you that day every single day? And it may just start like this. Jesus, I don't even know how to seek you. I know multivariate regression analysis. I know how to pontificate with an ecclesiastical excellence. What good has it done? Am I making any sense to anybody? We all have areas of expertise, but yet may be characterized as lukewarm. I'm sharing that with you because you need to hear Rick say, it began with Jesus. And so, Father, my prayer, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, that all my brothers that are at this altar and my brothers that are on the front level, the first level, and the brothers that are in the balcony, that we would seek you, we would commit to seeking you. This would be our new covenant, that we would commit to seeking you like we've never sought you before, and that we would ask you to construct an altar, not built by human hands, where every single day we come to you. And we don't come to you in our finest clothing. And we don't come to you wanting to be a better version of ourselves. And we're no longer going to even come to you asking you to fix our latest issue. But just like Isaiah, just like Ezekiel, just like Paul, make us undone. Break us. That's the only way. that we'll deny our flesh. We'll take up our cross. We'll follow you. So, Father, I say before these men, and we agree, that more than silver and gold, more than the possessions that we've been blessed to accumulate, may our godly legacy be pictured this way. I heard that Papa used to sit in a room by himself and simply say, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
This is Dr. Tim Flint, and I pray the programs over the last 5 days have been impactful for you. By the way, as they have been for me, Dr. Dobson and I have talked back and forth about the energy and the messaging. So critical in this day and hour. Men cannot, must not shrink back from the pressures of this godless and aggressive society. We've got to be bold, God-centered leaders in our families, our churches, our communities. I think we would all agree we need to pray that God would continue this holy stir, that God would move mightily among the hearts of men to stand up and to be champions in this hour. I know if you're struggling as a man right now, God may be God is beckoning you home. It's never too late. It's never too late to make a turn, to make a difference. It's never too late to become a good father. It's never too late to be a bold champion for Christ. If God gives you breath, that's your calling. And that's the challenge in this hour. If you enjoyed today's program and you'd like to be encouraged more in your own marriage or family, your own personal walk with Christ, I want to encourage you to visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. You can find more information about Dr. Rick Rigsby and a whole lot of resources to speak into your life there on our website. If you enjoyed this week's broadcast, let me say this. We'd love to hear from you. Call our listener feedback line. It's easy. Toll free 877-732-6825 and select option number 3. After you connect with us, you'll have 2 minutes to leave your comments, so be brief. But we want to hear from you. Also, feel free to suggest a guest or two for our broadcast team to consider for an upcoming interview. That number again for our listener feedback line is 877-732-6825. Select option 3. You know, we can't wait to hear from you. Well, that's all the time we have this week on Family Talk. Thank you for listening to us each and every day and for faithfully making financial contributions to this ministry. The Dobson Family Institute is completely listener-supported, so we greatly appreciate your generosity. Learn how you can stand with us by going to drjamesdobson.org or, again, calling us toll-free 877-732-6825. Hope you'll listen in on Monday to hear Dr. Dobson's brand new interview with Janet Porter from the Faith to Action organization. They're going to discuss the passing of the Ohio Heartbeat Bill and other states that could pass similar legislation. That's all next week on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. I wanted to quickly tell you about a $300,000 matching gift we received from a generous friend of our ministry. What that means right now is that every donation you make to the ministry will be doubled. See how you can contribute to this grant by visiting us at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call us toll-free, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. The match won't last long, so step in now, would you, and become a friend of this ministry. Go to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825. Thank you for your continued prayer and support of our ministry.